scripture this morning comes to us from Genesis. We are bringing to a conclusion our study that we have been sharing with you concerning the life of Lot and dealing with the things in his life. But we're also looking at our theme that we are talking about this year, and that is learning, teaching God's people about God's vision and sharing that with you. So we're just following God's vision to feed his people. Today we're going to talk about decisions. We're going to talk about that. Some of the decisions you have no control over, and yet God is in control of everything. Genesis chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and exceedingly sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look northward from the place where you are, and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, to you I will give it, and to your seed forever. I want to preach on the message, living with leftover choices. Living with leftover choices. You may be seated. Father, we do ask that you would speak through us to the hearts of these your people. And Lord, even as I've studied in preparation for this message, I know that there are yet many things that the Spirit would reveal to us. So I'm asking that you would have your way. Share with us the things that we have need of. And may all of us spiritually sit at our tent doors, awaiting to hear the word of the Lord. God, we thank you for living in a time such as this. And though they be troubled times, yet they're the times where we depend mostly upon you and ask for your guidance. So speak to our hearts, and God will be ready and ever willing to give you the praise and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just so we don't lose focus on our text, Abraham had said to Lot after the herdmen had disagreements, there was not enough ground or not enough grazing area for their herds. And so they got into conflict. They got into conflict. And evidently, it was so that they needed to separate one from the other. And so Abraham, being the man of faith that he was, and operating from a generous heart, said to Lot, I'm going to give you first choice. Now be mindful that Abraham had looked out for Lot when they left their home country, when they left Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham took Lot with him because he was basically an orphan. He was a young man, Abraham being the older man. And if we watch the progression of what happened, as Abraham was blessed, Lot shared that blessing. So if Abraham was under a covenant of God and Lot was living in the same household as Abraham, whatever Abraham got, Lot automatically got because of the association between them. If you would, just look at somebody and say, it's good to be around good folk. You've got to be careful, and we look at our first choice this morning, and you've got to be careful of the people that you associate with. People that can lift you up would be a blessing to you. Those that threaten your security and threaten your walk with God, they will be a detriment to you. Now, as it turned out, Lot was weighing Abraham down. And I'm not saying that right now you need to take an inventory of your relationships, but somewhere at the beginning of this year, and we're already getting into February, you need to take an inventory of your associations and ask yourself, are these the kind of people that will help me move forward? Or are they the kind of people that may hinder me? Abraham and Lot had lived together for a number of years, but it became apparent and evident we can no longer be associated. We've got to part ways. And I want you to notice some things about Lot that you should note in your Bible, in your margins, if you're not afraid to write in there. You never hear Lot building an altar to the Lord. Abraham did it constantly. You never hear of Lot praying and asking for guidance. And even though he was a godly man, as far as what we read in the New Testament, that his soul was vexed, you don't hear of his relationship with God as you hear about Abraham. You don't hear of him walking by faith, trusting in the goodness of God, yet you hear constantly about Abraham. And even though Abraham was not a perfect man, he was a godly man. So here comes the choice. Here comes the choice. Abraham said to Lot, or Abram at this time, he said to Lot, I'm going to give you first choice. You pick out the direction you want to go. Lot looked out, saw the plain of Jordan. Now, even though it was a good land, fruitful land, it was not the promised land. All right? Some of you young people are saying, money, 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 money. That might be good. But before you follow the OJs and go down that path and thinking, and even in the song, they warn you. They warn you. Before you, and some, I know some young people, who, OJ, who? Old school. Everybody say old school. Okay. So they made the choice. They made the choice that this is the direction that we're going to go in. And Lot chose the plain of Jordan. And already the news report were, these are wicked people. Ungodly. Ah, but you say to yourself, I can make it work. So you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And she just as evil as she can be, or he just as evil as he can be. I can make it work. Be careful, your associations, your relationships. Because as much as you think that those people will not have a bearing on your character, they will. Birds of a feather. Now, you say you're not a skunk, but I can tell you if you hang around skunks long enough, all the deodorant in the world is not going to change the relationship that you have. Do you see what I'm saying? So let's look at this. Now, Abraham is left with the choice by default. He's left with the choice that Lot made. And I know some of you are saying, because you're godly, you want to be holy, you want to be righteous, I'm left with the bad choice. I've got to deal with the leftovers of what somebody else. Well, let's break it down. Let's just look at, we're talking about hang-ups to holiness. That's how I couldn't think of a few minutes ago. But we've been talking about being distracted. We also talked about being an opportunist. Instead of seeking God, we also shared with you compromising, which is what Lot did a lot. All right. And then finally, failing to act on God's word. Failing to act on what the Spirit reveals to you. Heeding his warnings. Going in the path that he would lead you to take. Lot didn't do that. And I don't want you to make that same decision. Nor do I want you to always feel like, well, I'm just stuck with somebody else put on me. Don't live your life that way. Because even some of the things that by default fall into your lap, I'm here to tell you today, Romans 8:28 will not change. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Can I break it down to you? when my mama would make a cake and tea, she'd break the eggs. I'd say, how in the world is this going to come out in a cake? Mixing the flour and the milk, it looked like a mess to me. Oh, but when it came out of the oven. And what I'm here to tell you today, when God takes your life and even the mess and the things that somehow or another is put into your life and God mixes it, God stirs it. Next thing you know, you got a blessing which you thought it was a curse. Don't ever underestimate the power of God over your situation. Boy, that's a good word right there. Don't ever underestimate that. I got to move on for the sake of time. We got to serve communion here. Here's some leftover situations or leftover scenarios. How many of y'all ever been here? Just say yes or no. Left with no options. Yeah, I've been there. You ain't had no choice in the matter. Amen. You stuck with it, all right? No options. When you've got God, there are always options and ways where you thought there was no, because guess what God can do? He can make a way. Finish it for me. Thank you. So now we don't just see ourselves. And Abraham knew this before he even gave Lot the choice. He knew that God could take you to a place with nothing but rocks and nothing but hills. And you know, when you try to put a field on the side of a hill, it doesn't work too well. But God can make the rough place. Do you see what I'm saying? I know some of you are saying, I'm in a messed up situation. Hold on, there's some more. Left with somebody else's mess. Now you got to clean up what you didn't mess up. But get your Mr. Clean out and go on and scrub a dub to the best of your ability, because while you're working, God's doing something through you. He's molding your character. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus had to pick up a whole bunch of mess. As a matter of fact, he bore the sin of the world on his shoulders. Do I have a witness? He was left with someone else's mess. But then the third one. How many of y'all been there? Left somebody? Yeah, okay. No option? Yeah. Left to fight a battle you didn't start. It's something when you say, okay, we are going to go out here and we are going to do this. But then all of a sudden the we becomes me. And you're feeling some kind of way about this thing. Wait a minute. How many of y'all been there? Don't have time to get all the details, but you know what I'm talking about. Then the last one, left alone. Left alone. I love the little story of Kevin and the little story in Christmas, Home Alone. I love that story. That kid was thinking. Just as naughty as he could be, but he was thinking. And what you got to do, you've got to become a thinking Christian. Otherwise, you will take the mess of this world and you will start saying to yourself, ain't no way out. Are you kidding me? We know what our way out is going to be ultimately, but there's a way through. In every situation of your life, God will take you through. He will give you the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even if it's through the dungeon of suffering. Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the 1940s was a German theologian, and he was called back to Germany to help his people. And while he was teaching in New York and thinking, well, you know, in my mess, one of his friends wrote to him and said, you know, this is the cause that you need to be involved in. You need to come and help us fight. And he used these words. He said, now, how can you flee when your house is burning? And I think a lot of us as Christians, we're abandoning Christian values because, look, I'm just trying to get through this mess. And I'm going to do whatever is necessary, even compromising your ways. Come on, Christian. Come on, child of God. Square your shoulders. You were born for a time like this. You're not here accidentally. You're here on purpose. God brought you to this faith, to this place in time, so that you could fight the good fight of faith. Put on the whole armor of God. So let's work through this real quickly. Work through this. Remember we talked about John Kitchen's book, Long Story Short. I keep coming back to it. Everything is by God's grace and for God's glory. And so know that whatever decisions that are being made, or even if it gets thrown in your, into your plate, the steps of a good person, a godly child of God, are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now watch, while God is directing your path, and all of a sudden, here comes an obstacle. Here comes a hurdle in your life. Here comes a choice that you couldn't make. Now, why did God speak to Abraham right after Lot had made that choice? Lot chose the green grass. He chose the flourishing and the flowing hills. Abraham was left with a mountainous region, but what God was saying to Abraham, look, take that choice. The same thing he would have done with Abraham's life. Remember now, he had no child. And yet God was telling him he's going to be the father of a multitude. Matter of fact, he's going to be the father of many nations. And through him, all the families of the earth would be blessed. So this man is not only a man who believes God, he's a visionary. And so when God spoke to him, and I can just imagine the Lord putting his hand on his shoulder and said, look. Look to the east, look to the west, look to the north, look to the south. Everywhere you look, I'm going to bless it. I'm going to bless it. Now, some of you are looking at your kids right now, and you say to yourself, Lord, have mercy, where did these kids come from? And you're trying to nail down the horns. Wait a minute. Hold on here. Yeah. Try. The Bible said the children are a heritage from the Lord. Right? Blessed are those that have their quiver full of them. And you're saying, one or two, Lord. But hold on a minute. God's not finished. The one who gave them breath would give them direction. What you got to know is that the Lord is going to order. Am I preaching to anybody? Just let him order your steps. Even when it means walking through an area where you're not sure of where you're going, trust God. I'll get to that in just a second. Then the second thing, by God's grace, that he's going to lead your footsteps, but also it's for God's glory. Why is he keeping me? Why is he blessing me? Why did God put a roof over my head? Why did he put food on my table? It's not just so that you could be happy. It's for his glory. Everything he does in your life is for his glory. What we're talking about is not just so you can look good. You can be a reflection of his glory. Oh, if you would, just look at your neighbor and say, I'm blessed like that. Yes, for his glory. That way you don't have to take credit for what doesn't belong to you. You can say, when people say, man, you know, I had folks down home, you know, folks down home where I'm known as Skeeter. Okay, folks down home say, you sure look good. I said, praise God, it's for his glory. They don't know the other side that hurts. But that's all right, though. We're able to enjoy his blessings. Look at what God would do for you, just for his glory. The Lord shall preserve your going out and you're coming in. From this time forth. When is this time forth? I look at it as every day. Every day you get up, God said, I'm going to preserve your going out and you're coming in. From this, every time you remind yourself of the promises of God rather than the mess that you're in. Lord have mercy. Am I preaching to anybody? Stuck with this bad choice. Got these leftovers to deal with. And yet God said, I'm working in the situation. I'm going to bring you through this. I'm going to make you stronger. And you're going to really believe that I am God. Because if it's for his glory, in that process, you're going to know that he is God. It's he that made you and not yourself. Let's move on. Let's look at it. All right, so what we have to do is look at what God confirmed to Abraham. And basically what God was saying, I didn't give you those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. I didn't give you the plain. Here's what I've given you. Everybody say this with me. Pay attention to what you're supposed to be doing. I know I said that fast. Pay attention to what God has for you. So many times we're in other folks' business. Why can't I have what they got? Because you're not them. You sometimes spiritually we act like 2-year-olds. I want that. I want that. No, you don't want that. You really don't. What you want is what God has for you. In this covenant blessing of Abraham, God wanted to do something extraordinary with Abraham. He not only wanted to make him a nation, but to turn him into a blessing over all the earth. Today, we're sitting in this congregation this morning because of the blessing of Abraham, because he trusted God. Not that Abraham would do it. All he had to do was just believe him. Have that faith capacity to believe that God is able to do this. And when Abraham said, God, you know what? I can't see it, but I just believe you. I just believe you. And God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless. And notice he talks about his seed forever. Spiritually, because we are believing in the same God and we have the same faith that Abraham had, we're the seed of Abraham according to promise. All right, you got that? No, you're not a Jew. Amen. You got the same family line. Amen. I can't expect to be a Hebrew, but I am a Coleman who believes in the God of Abraham. Amen. So are we there? So when you understand this, you understand also that you've been called into this covenant relationship with God. That's why we share things like the communion, reminding you it's not based on your works. Reminding me it's not based on your goodness. This is the goodness of God. Amen. All right. So how do we do this? Be spirit guided. Be spirit guided. Yeah, I've got a lot of experiences. And I could say, well, I'm going to let experience be my best teacher. No. Some of y'all messed up before, you're going to mess up again. Nope. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Greatest friend you'll ever meet in this lifetime. Amen. When you allow him to guide you, he will keep you every day. Y'all got to get it quick. I got to move on. All right. So how do you avoid leftover thinking? Ask yourself, how do I avoid leftover thinking? Now, some of you got up this morning, if you're like me, things that didn't go right last week, last year, last month. You're going back to it. What could I have done differently? After all this stuff, how many times are you going to go over there? Now, I'm going to tell you what we didn't do in the country. If you see a pile of cow manure, you don't stir it. I mean, I hate to be graphic, but sometimes you just gotta tell people just like, don't be stirring in things that you know is not good. God didn't call you to reflect on your past. Anytime he says, I will forgive your sin, I will erase all of that, you need to be looking in the direction of where God is telling you to look. Are y'all with me? So how do you avoid that? First of all, observe God. Abraham was an observer of God. That's why every time, everywhere he'd go, he said, I want to recognize God. This is an area I've never been before. First thing I do, I'm going to observe God. Don't just come to church because, well, today's a good day, I'm going to go to church. It's part of your observation of God. And if you recognize God, guess what he's going to do? He's going to recognize you. I notice how that some people will say hello, I'm from the country. I just go, hey. My son was going down through the country the other day, and in Scottsburg, and we got this thing of either we wave if we know you, or if our hands on the wheel, we just throw up a little finger there, if we don't know you, but I see you in my community. We recognize, we observe. And a lot of us can tell us what's going on in government, but you can't tell me what's going on in the kingdom of heaven. And all the laws in the world cannot forfeit the promises of God. You got more confidence in the world than you do in God. Is that right? Now, even though you're in the United States and you should act as a citizen, and you should be a part of the processes that we have, but you got dual citizenship. Your abiding place is in glory with God. So why don't you act like a child of God? Walk like a child of God. Talk like a child of God. Everybody else cussing, don't you get over there with them. So-and-so, so-and-so. You know, you've got to maintain your integrity of who you are. Observe God. Psalm 27 and verse 8. I'm going to have to look it up because I forgot it. But Psalm 27 is all about recognizing the Lord and His mighty power, recognizing who He is and what God can do, and not what you're getting from the world. I don't want my blessing. I'm like Abraham. I don't want my blessing to come from man, because it's going to have strings attached. But when my blessing comes from the Lord, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, whence cometh my help. I'm not going to look to the gods of these hills. I'm going to look to the God who made the hills. Amen. Psalm 27 and verse 8, it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, Lord, your face will I seek. That's the first thing. That's the thing that you should be asking yourself right now. Do I observe God every day of my life? Secondly, knowing God's assurance. Fanny Crosby wrote that hymn. Did you know she was blind at the age of 2? She could have said, well, this is a choice that was made. Leftover choices. Yet that woman wrote some beautiful hymns because she knew what was going on the inside. Amen? Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing. And that word assurance, as it's used in the Bible, it talks about safety. Safety. And the confidence that we have. What would cause a man like Abraham to walk around from place to place, and God told him, everywhere you put your feet, I'm going to give it to you. What would give him that confidence? He had the assurance that same one we get in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will complete it. Will complete it. Your life is not complete yet. You've got to keep moving on by faith. Where you're going through right now might be a valley, but there's a mountain somewhere, wherever there's a valley. But notice in the plain, you have no mountains. All you've got just plain, and that's where a lot of people want. I just want to be on smooth ground. No, you don't. No, you don't. But you're in a place where God can bless you and keep you. Amen? Knowing His assurance. And then don't accept the leftovers. Romans 8:28. Turn that leftover into something good. Amen? If God says He's going to work it out for you good, you declare it as good. I'm not feeling good, but it is good. How do young people say, I'm good. Are you really? But God can work it out for you good. And then lastly, pray over your choices. Every choice you make, pray over it. And I'm so glad that Abraham set the example of faith. When he said, I'm not going to take this leftover choice, he set the example because people behind him, like Daniel, who found himself in a lion's den, lions looking at him, and yet Daniel in the lion's den could say, God kept me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not by their own choice, thrown into the fiery furnace, but they knew that God was able. Jesus hanging on the cross for our sin. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm here to tell you in this last Sunday of January in the year of 2018, you can live through a bad choice. Because if you declare God as the Lord of your life, He will take you through that bad choice to where you'll be on a ground and on a place where God can bless you abundantly. I declare it right here, this morning, right now, God is in control. Give Him a hand clap. Amen. We're going to ask that you would stand now as we go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to give the invitation. And it's more than just an invitation to find Christ and to know Christ, but I'm going to ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and keep you, and to not think of your life as just a series of bad choices. God is in control. You need to go along with Him and share and enjoy the blessings that Abraham had. Amen? Father, thank You for Your message of hope. Thank You, God, for helping us to live with the leftover choices, things that we didn't bring about, but we know that You're in charge. We're asking that You would keep us and guide us, and in all that we do, help us to be faithful. Lord, we're making a new commitment to You, as we've studied in this series, God, and how we know that, Lord, you're involved in our lives. We want to be children of God that not have these hang-ups, but, Lord, we can become holy and righteous like you. We love you, God. Help us to serve you and honor your name. And, Lord, I pray that if there's one today that does not know Christ, that they would invite him to come in and believe on him as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for your great promises. Thank you for your great power. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend the invitation. If there be one today without Christ, without hope in this world, Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Will there be one? The doors of the church are open. We're going to get ready for our offering. We'll ask that we prepare our hearts and our gifts as we give unto the Lord. And while we're standing here, thank you for what you've done on last year, how you believed and supported our church. And we're challenged this year that we would continue to give and honor God through our giving. We're going to be led in prayer at this time.